and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. Well, you've seen the headlines on biznews.com, watched and listened to the interviews on BizNews TV and BizNews Radio. So now let's talk about what the latest developments mean for your money. This is The Editor's Desk, exclusive analysis for BizNews Premium members. Today is Thursday, the 15th of January, 2026. Glad to have you with me. A piece in The Economist caught my eye this morning. It refers to research done by Xavier Gabax and Ralph Korchin, two researchers who are, they've written a 55-page hypothesis, which they called the Inelastic Markets Hypothesis. Gabe is from Harvard University, Korchin from the University of Chicago, so they have a fine pedigree. And what they put together really gave me pause, and as a consequence, I've put something together for you to interpret it. We've also embedded the 55 pages for those who want to have a closer look. In essence, what they're saying is that the investment markets, stock markets, have become so dominated by mandates, by exchange-traded funds, institutional mandates, pension funds that have got to put money into certain areas, that there is very little, or the what's left in the market, which can be decided upon because of valuation opportunities, is now very little relative to this huge weight of money that comes in and has to go in a particular direction. This has got profound implications, because in the past, what would happen is, because most of the funds that were being invested were done by active fund managers, if there was an arbitrage opportunity, they'd all be rushing after each other to go and grab that opportunity first. Well, now, exchange-traded funds don't do arbitrage. They do, this percentage has to be put into that particular stock, and it doesn't matter what you pay for it, because that's what your mandate is. You must have, i.e., 1.5% of your portfolio invested in the stock whose weighting in that index is 1.5%. And it, you don't sit there and say, well, I won't buy it until the prices become advantageous. You buy it at the price that it's trading at. And the research that Gabe and Korchin have done says, as a result of this, as a result of this weight of money, each $1 is now having a multiplier effect of $5 on the market cap. So if funds are coming into exchange-traded funds or into institutional portfolios, mandated portfolios, they have to be channeled into particular assets, and those assets will then change in value by $5 for every $1 that's put in. And that does explain the massive market capitalizations that we're seeing in the popular stocks of today. Who would have thought that you can get a company worth $4 trillion? It's mind-blowing in the context of what companies were worth in the past. And it's also mind-blowing to think how they're ever going to return that $4 trillion to the shareholders, to those who are co-owners of the company. But that's not the way stock markets are working anymore, according to this inefficient this hypothesis of inelastic markets. We always believed that markets were elastic. In other words, that prices would change depending on valuations. Now, the thesis that is quite well argued is that those markets are inelastic, and actually they're affected more by the flow of funds than by the valuations. It's a heck of a watershed decision, and it makes a lot of sense on a lot of levels. Of course, it's also a big red flag. Because if you're invested in stocks and there's a 5-to-1 benefit by the money that goes in, then you've got to realize that there would be a 5-to-1 collapse for the money that's taken out. You have the same ratio. And when you consider that at some point in time, the party has to end, the impact thereof is going to be sensational, well, according to this this research. And it's not going to be sensational in a happy way. It'll be in a very unhappy way. And in many ways, you can also extrapolate this into the South African market. When you look at the South African share prices and the recent moves that we've seen, and you compare that with an economy where the GDP per capita has gone backwards over the last 10 years, where companies are now having to apply more time on compliance to principles that are destructive, where growth in businesses has been restricted to very little, and yet the stock market has shrugged all of that off in the kind of melt-up proportions that Magnus Haystack spoke about earlier this week and what happened in 2025. And you have a look at where the flow of funds is coming from on the South African stock market and the way that passive managers have mushroomed. In other words, exchange-traded funds have taken an ever-increasing share of the money that's been invested. That plus index funds and plus institutional mandates, you've got to know that the active fund managers are looking at things. You take the Sean Peshers or a Piet Viljoen or other value managers, and they look at this and they say, but this is crazy. Here's a company like Lewis that is trading on a 9% dividend yield and a very low single-digit price-to-earnings ratio. How can that be? And how can it stay there indefinitely? Are they still working off the belief that the arbitrage gap will be closed? But when the funds, if the flows are more important than that difference in valuations, well, then that gap might never close. Or certainly it might never close in the short term. But of course, on the other hand, they're doing the smart thing. And the smart thing is, if you want to be a co-owner of a company, don't join a popularity contest to buy your slice of that business, but look at the bottom line. Because at some stage, the popularity contest will end, and those who were so popular about something that was in fashion might actually be running away and wanting to get to the exit and squash themselves and the valuation of that operation very quickly. Whereas if you are a co-owner of a business that you've bought at a good price, that would be immune to the reverse that has to happen one day. I'm not saying there's going to be a crash today, but at some point in time, that flow of funds has to reverse. And the likelihood that it'll reverse when the liquidity that's being pumped into the system reverses. And the liquidity being pumped in the system locally could be impacted by South Africa's geopolitical position. Remember, we are a country that is a very open economy. More than 50% of South Africa's business activity is either exports or imports. So that's open economy. So just beware of that. And on the other hand, from an international perspective, should the Federal Reserve start tightening up, well, then you will have a predictable impact on the flow of funds. Or should the US economy fall off a cliff, there would be a predictable impact there too. But for the moment, you have got an expanding area of liquidity in the United States. And although share prices have been driven way beyond historic good value areas, when you look at this hypothesis of the inelasticity caused by the flow of funds, you would say that the place to look is when those flows turn around, not at the valuations, which by historic levels are, well, overdone. A fascinating hypothesis. As I mentioned earlier, you can go and read the full report. It's 55 pages, so it takes a little while. And there's a little article of mine as well. Also on my side, this morning I spoke with Athol Trollope. Now, Athol is a farmer who went into politics and then left politics after a long career and went back into farming. So he's a proper farmer from the Eastern Cape. And as I mentioned in the conversation, it's such a pity that Action SA didn't become a member of the Government of National Unity, because Athol would be the perfect Minister of Agriculture. He knows farming, he knows farmers, that's his game. And as a consequence of that, he would have been much more in touch than, sadly, the way that John Steenhuisen has been. Now, Steenhuisen seems to be listening to the wrong people. And that's the conclusion I get from the farming community, and certainly very forcefully made by Athol Trollope, which you could understand. He is a opponent of Steenhuisen's party. Athol's the parliamentary leader of Action SA. Steenhuisen, of course, is the leader of the Democratic Alliance. But what we are seeing on the foot and mouth disease, the feedback I'm getting from the farming community, and remember, I did have the privilege of farming for a few years, so I do know a little more about this. I'm by no means an expert on the field, but I do have a feel of how livestock and veterinarians and viruses and vaccines, how all of that works, because I farm thoroughbreds and we needed African horse sickness vaccines. And if you didn't have African horse sickness vaccines, well, you exposed your assets to a horrible death, because African horse sickness is almost a death sentence. For horses, a very small percentage of them do recover. Foot and mouth disease, although there isn't a direct death sentence, there are many knock-on mortality issues here. And just to listen to the press conference that John Steenhuisen had yesterday, when one of his so-called experts said no animal dies of foot and mouth disease, that is like seriously dumb. It's like saying, well, nobody dies of pneumonia. They only die because they stop breathing. The knock-on effect, mastitis, if cows are no longer, because of foot and mouth disease, able to have their milk extracted, they will get all kinds of infections and they will die. When you have foot and mouth disease, the babies that are being born, whether they're piglets or calves, or I suppose kids from goats, the mortality rate is extremely high. So those animals certainly are dying from foot and mouth disease. The reaction from the farming community to Steenhuisen's press conference yesterday was that this guy is listening to the wrong people and he's terribly uninformed. He hasn't done the maths yet either. What they're calling for is very simple. Untie our hands, allow us to find vaccines. We have a ridiculous situation at the moment where, because it's a government-mandated disease, farmers are not allowed to buy vaccines even if they could find them. Unfortunately, as you'll hear from the conversation with Athol Trollope, it will be in the director's cut tonight at 8 o'clock tonight. The Onderstepoort Vaccine Centre had a 500 million rand injection from us taxpayers, which has disappeared. It's gone. No vaccines are being created, or very few are being created. And that 500 million, I'd love to know where it's gone to, but it certainly has not gone where it was supposed to. So once again, corruption within the public sector is really having a massive multiplier effect. Foot and mouth disease is a big story, and it is one that is going to be with us for quite some time. Closing off today's editor's desk is another investment story. I am looking for the great investment voice of South Africa, the hidden great investment voice. And if you're listening to this and you fancy yourself as an investor, or you'd like to share your insights on investing, please do send us a piece, no more than 800 words, but help us, help the rest of the community to get your insights into a stock that, or an area that you can argue is either overpriced or underpriced. Hugo van Bouillon has looked at a company called Weaver FinTech. It's on the site today, and he's done a wonderful job. That's the kind of contribution that I'm looking forward to publishing from other members of the BizNews community. Please do apply your mind and send us something. Who knows? You might actually find that your passion becomes a source of income in the future. There is a 10,000 Rand prize for the best contribution that we receive. So that's a good start. But I'm going to leave it there for today. Keep an eye on your premium newsletter for links to our freshest published content. Thanks for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Until tomorrow, cheerio.